chilly start to the day, but it is Tuesday, January 4th. Some holidays that you didn't even know about from the random holiday section. These are ones that probably aren't on your calendar, but you can celebrate them if you want. Today's National Trivia Day, which I love trivia. I love useless knowledge and filling my brain with all that. That's why we do that on the show every morning. But today is National Trivia Day, celebrating everybody who puts that useless knowledge and all that information in their brains only to bore you. But for one day only, it's okay for you to not roll your eyes when somebody starts with the sentence, "Did you know?" or "Can you answer these trivia questions?" or those people that like to correct people when they know the facts and you don't. And they're like, "Well, actually, yeah." I'm rolling my eyes now, so I guess that's the only eye roll I get for the day. Speaking of rolling eyes, it's World Hypnotism Day. When it's not being used to make somebody think they're chicken or fall asleep, hypnosis can actually help treat a lot of great things or a lot of things that you want to get rid of, like anxiety or phobias. Maybe you want to kick a bad habit like smoking. Fun fact for you, or did you know, since it is Trivia Day, keeping along with that theme, it was developed by a German doctor back in 1734. His name was Frank Mesmer. See, yeah, that's where we get the whole term mesmerize. Now I see. So now you know. There's a fun fact and maybe a random trivia question you can add to your list of useless knowledge. I'm sure that would come up on a trivia question at some point. Also today is World Braille Day, helping the blind read for more than 200 years. World Braille Day is a reminder of the importance of accessibility and independence for the estimated 36 million people around the world who are blind or visually impaired. Also, this one is one I didn't know existed. It's called, here's a holiday called I'm going to try and pronounce this right, perihelion. It's Greek, and it's Greek for nearest to the sun. And while it may not feel like it, today is the day that the Earth is at its closest point to the sun in a year-long orbit. Now, it's approximately 91,402,500 miles from the sun's center. So that's still pretty far, but I guess, you know, as warm as the sun is, it's really cold today. So I don't know what that means. Also today, if you're thinking about dinner, a holiday you can celebrate, National Spaghetti Day. Enjoy that. And also Tom Thumb Day. On this day, 1838, Charles Sherwood Stratton was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He was better known as Tom Thumb. He famously stopped growing when he was just 6 months old, remained 25 inches tall until he was 9. But what he lacked in stature, he definitely made up for that in infamy, becoming part of the P.T. Barnum traveling circus. He only actually grew to 3 feet tall and weighed just 70 pounds when he died of a stroke at the age of 45. Other things that we'll get to this morning, if you've got a BlackBerry phone still and you're trying to use it, it may not work today. Also, Apple is worth a whole lot of money, and we'll get to some other things that are trending that people are talking about this morning. And back to our question of the day, have you ever left a job in the middle of a work day? We know Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown quit the team on Sunday in the middle of the game. So I want to know, have you ever left a job in the middle of a work day for any reason? Give me a call, 925-WSJM. That's 925-9756. Time now to fill your brain with useless knowledge. Guess I should get the voice guy to do something cooler than that. But here's some fun things for you to remember and fill your brain with. Solitaire refers to any tabletop game that you can play by yourself, not just the famous card game. What? In fact, this card game wasn't actually called Solitaire until 1990 when Microsoft called it that when they first added it to the Windows operating system. The actual game, or actual name of the game, is Klondike. I never knew that. You know, that doesn't make sense because I remember another fun fact, the movie Manchurian Candidate, not the newer one with Denzel Washington, but the older one with, I think it was Frank Sinatra was the main character in that one. The code word to get him hypnotized or whatever was play solitaire. So I don't know if that just meant play the card game or why didn't he just say play Klondike? I don't get it. Speaking of older actors, as a philanthropist, actor Paul Newman donated more money in relation to his own wealth than any other American during the 20th century. And you probably go to the grocery store, see all of his Newman's Own products from dressings to all kinds of different things. I'm pretty sure all the proceeds from those purchases that you buy in the store, all of that has gone to charity. Pretty amazing. This is a fun one. Dr. Seuss's real name is Theodore Geisel or Geisel. The reason he came up with this pen name, the pen name Seuss, was when he was caught drinking in college and got banned from extracurricular activities, but wanted to keep writing for the humor newspaper. So he changed his name to Dr. Seuss. This is a fun one, and the foundation of our country started with a misspelling of a word, and a pretty important one, actually one of the states, and it was done by one of our founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton. He misspelled the word Pennsylvania on the Constitution. The one thing that he messed up is he forgot one of the N's in Penn for Pennsylvania. So if you ever make any errors, just say, hey, you know, I may have made a mistake, but our founding fathers also made a mistake. So there, you could use that useless knowledge. I guess that would be useful at that point. And last but not least, Elvis's best-selling album ever was his Christmas album, Elvis's Christmas album. It's also the best-selling Christmas album overall, was selling more than 10 million copies. So there you go. That's some useless knowledge for you this morning. We'll get to some things that are trending a little bit later on, as well as asking you the question today on our Facebook page. And you can also give me a call, 925-WSJM. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown, he quit the team yesterday, or on Sunday, that is, in the middle of their game against New York Jets. Now, he got benched before he removed all of his equipment. He said, all right, I'm quitting. Shoulder pads off, jersey, shirt, gloves, ran off the field in the middle of the game. And it was one of those, I quit, but I don't know if he quit or if he got fired, because even after the game, Bruce Arians was like, yeah, he's no longer part of the team. So I don't know if it was one of the you can't quit, you're fired kind of situations, or if he actually just quit. But asking you that question, have you ever done something like that? Not leave a game in the middle of and throw off your uniform and all that and run out of your workplace. You may have done that, but I'd love to know, have you ever left a job in the middle of a workday? Kind of like, you know, like a Jerry Maguire.
Don't worry, I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is just flip out.
Because this happened sort of the same kind of, not exactly like him, but it happened with on Sunday, Antonio Brown from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had some issues in the past, and I honestly surprised that he stayed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as long as he did. But he quit the team on Sunday in the middle of their game against the New York Jets, and it was bizarre. I mean, even the commentators were like, I'm not really sure what he's doing. It looks like he kind of had an argument with the coach, and he just left. And then after the press conference, Bruce Arians just said, yeah, he's no longer part of the team. Not really a whole lot of explanation, but he got released and missed out on a lot of money as well, from what I saw, that he only needed to play for a little while longer and he would have got a lot of bonuses. But needless to say, he's got some issues that he's got to deal with. But I want to hear from you. Have you ever left a job right in the middle of a workday for any reason? And if funny reason, weird reason, I'd love to know. 925-9756, 925-9756. How did you end up leaving your job?
Okay, so this was when I worked at a gas station. And we kind of hung our hat on the fame that you could pump and then come in and pay. The pump would turn on. You didn't have to pay first. And we had a big problem with people just stealing our diesel. And the manager came up to me and was getting angry at me for it.
What?
Like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go chase down his truck? You make it pay now, pump later. Why are you mad at me? And then he talked about taking the diesel they stole out of my check. So I just left. Took off my work shirt. I folded it. I went into the manager's office and I literally threw it at him like one would throw a cream pie at someone in a cartoon.
Oh, that is awesome. Wow. I don't think you really needed to fold it though. So, but that's pretty awesome. But why would you have that where you pay when you go inside? I know there's a lot of places that were like that. Now everybody has the card readers at the gas pump, but that you're just setting yourself up for somebody to steal something like that. So let me know. 925-9756. That's 925-WSJM. Give me a call. I'd love to know, how have you ever left your job in the middle of the workday? You can comment on our Facebook page as well. Just search for WSJM News. It's News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. I'm Johnny Reinhart, and my guest today plays Iggy Frome on NBC's New Amsterdam, which is back on NBC later on tonight. It's Tyler Labine. Tyler, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. I just got back from my holidays in California and had a day of rest yesterday. I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling okay. Ready to get back into the saddle.
That's wonderful. Now, Tyler, you play Dr. Iggy on New Amsterdam on NBC. I got to ask you, why do you think people love medical drama shows? There seems to be a ton of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is I don't. I'm not a big medical drama fan. But I can tell you why I think people like them. I think people like medical dramas because, traditionally speaking, It's a nice place. It's a very high stakes environment.
Sure.
Where you can dive into it and feel immersed in this world that you don't know, but you can feel, you can still feel the rush of. You can feel like kind of like a sofa, like an armchair doctor. And I also think that for whatever reason, the hospital environment in TV has become this like really great breeding ground for like romance.
Sure.
Like high stakes romance and like doctors who are always being called away and pulled away from each other. And I think that's what people like. It's like this, it's just the stakes of it all. Mm-hmm. I can tell you why our show isn't like that. Our show has some of those elements, but I think our show really rails against that idea and really wants people to settle in and feel that they're being seen and included. Mm-hmm. It's not a world where you're like, I don't get this, but I like it. It's a world where you're like, oh my God, they're talking about me. Oh my God, I went through that with my dad. Oh my God, I'm going through that with my mental health right now.
Yeah.
That's what I think draws people into our medical show. And then of course there's some romance and there's some, you know, high stakes OR drama. But I think overall our show really invites people in because we're like, hey, look, we're talking about a thing that no one talks about. Do you want to come and join the conversation?
Right. And one of the things that you're talking about real life is the show dealt with the COVID-19 pandemic. So what was it like for you to deal with that on the show as a character, but also really as a person in real life dealing with it as well? What was that like?
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard, man. It was hard, but it was also such a gift, you know. So when we came to start shooting season three, I have three children who are all very young. And, they were like, look, we're going to start season three, but you can't travel. Mm-hmm. You can't go home and see your kids. Your kids can't come see you. And I had to do what I had to do. So my whole beginning of shooting season three, a season about how hard this was for everybody, was one of the hardest times of my life. I was going through a very, very recent separation with my wife and partner of 23 years. Not seeing my kids, and then we're shooting a show about this pain. So there was the gift. I had this place to put some of my pain and very genuinely put it into the show. But man, it didn't feel right here either. We're all being kept in separate rooms and we can't meet each other and we can't go out in the city. The city didn't feel like the city anymore. You block every scene with masks and face masks on and shields. And, you know, like everything just felt so foreign. So we had to overcome a lot of that to even make the show. Mm-hmm. And we only made a 14 episode season, but man, that was tough. So I think the fact that this show leaned into that and told that story rather than trying to pretend we weren't doing that was like, that was a real gift. That was a blessing to be able to do that. And season four continues the same way. I mean, we're all getting used to it, which is kind of sad, but we're all getting used to that. That's the way that we make this show now. But we keep telling the story. Because we're still living the story. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, you've been on all kinds of different shows. I mean, this show being more of a medical drama, but you've been on comedies, you've done voiceover work, you've done all that stuff. What's your favorite genre to be a part of?
Yeah, I think I used to say comedy. In particular, I really liked comedies that had like no rules, like sure. a lot of sci-fi stuff or like genre stuff. I think now I'm recognizing as an actor, I don't have a favorite genre. I really just am looking for experience.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an experiential reward that I can get from material that just speaks to me. And I go, oh, that's cool. I get to play that, or I get to pretend that that's me, or, you know, and it comes in weird forms and weird shapes. It doesn't necessarily matter what the genre is. It matters like the character within that genre. And then because of who I am, I will always interpret that character differently. And hopefully insert myself into that, whatever genre it is, in a unique and different way.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for as an actor anymore. I just want something that feels good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I loved your character, switching gears to other things that you've been on, because you've got a very long list of great things that you've done. You were in Super Troopers 2.
Yeah,
I want to say I love the character that you played, and honestly,
you like that, huh?
I did.
You like the French Canadians?
That was great. You're Canadian, right?
Yeah.
So what was it like to be a Mountie?
Well, you know, I'll give you all in a nutshell what that was like. A friend of mine's dad is a very decorated Mountie. His name is Bob Convey, and in his living room, he has his Mountie uniform like under glass in a mm-hmm. huge framed case. And he's very proud of it. And I told him that I was playing a Mountie in the Super Troopers 2 movie. And he was so offended. He was like, it was like, if you put on that Mountie uniform, I'm going to slap you. And I was like, what? And he was like, you're not being serious, but he was like, oh my, that's not a thing you take lightly in Canada. That is not a thing we take lightly. Being sure. a Mountie is like, that's a very highly decorated position in Canada. So I felt this thing. I'm like going into this ridiculous comedy with this very serious like representation, you know? So it was interesting. I wanted like Will Sasso and Hayes MacArthur and I are all friends from other things. Will and I grew up in Vancouver together. Will's Canadian as well. And I decided I'm going to play this character straight. it was a comedy, but I was like, I let those two be like cartoons. I was like, I'm going to be like the guy who takes being a Mountie very, very seriously. And, that was my way of reconciling that, you know, but it was fun, man. And I love poking fun at French Canadians because French Canadians are funny.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, your line about a moose, which it's a family show that we're on right now, so I can't talk about it. But
I know the one.
For those of you that have seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I will say I use that in conversation quite a lot. I think I just used it just the other day.
It's become canon, I think.
Yeah. So also your family, you guys are all in the industry and your brothers are doing stuff as actors or writers or even you've been in something that your brothers directed. Did you guys do movies or home movies or shows or things like that when you were kids?
Yeah, for sure. So my older brother and I have actually collaborated and made two feature films, and we've gone to TIFF, and my brother's won some awards as a filmmaker and a writer and very talented guy. He's the head narrative designer and writer at Ubisoft Video Games now. My little brother opened his own and started his own theater company in Toronto and had a black box theater. Things didn't pan out as well, you know, with that. Him and his wife separated and there was some COVID issues and all that, but he's still acting and I'm doing my thing. But when we were kids, my dad was like the guy who had to have the first everything. Mm-hmm. I'd have the first microwave and VHS or beta player. And he had a Kyocera video camera, huge, like shoulder mounted, you know, slap a tape into the side of it. And we were like, oh my God, we can make
movies. That's awesome.
And we started scripting movies and like having kids audition in the neighborhood for roles in the movies. And my brother, by the time he was 12, was like, I'm going to be a director. And I was like, cool, I'm going to be an actor. And my little brother was like, I'm going to be an actor too. And our parents were like, okay, you guys want to do that? Go for it.
That's awesome. Well, I've certainly enjoyed seeing you in all the different roles that you played, and looking forward to seeing you again on New Amsterdam on NBC. There's Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. You can watch it and binge watch it on Peacock. But Tyler, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Glad to be here.
Here's some things that are trending this morning and things that you should know about. There's a woman that's going viral after paying off all of her husband's student loans as a Christmas gift. Oh, that's a pretty great gift. Well, Here's the moment that Jayla Henry and her husband opened up the gift, which was a pair of slippers that had debt-free written on them, and her recorded phone call to the bank to pay off that loan. Check this out.
Debt-free?
Yeah, I want you walking around debt-free.
That's awesome. Now, the phone call wasn't that great, but just needless to say, a pretty amazing thing. So if there's anybody that wants to send me some slippers with, say, debt-free on them, please do that. That would be fantastic. Another thing that trending that people are talking about, I saw this yesterday. You know, Keanu Reeves has been in some great movies, and in particular, the Matrix franchise. He turned down a lot of money to do some of those movies because he wanted to help out the crew. But also, he donated 70% of his Matrix earnings to leukemia research, which is around $31.5 million. Now, at the time, his younger sister was battling the blood cancer, and before going into remission in 2001, Keanu Reeves, honestly, one of the most amazing actors, not only on screen, but just as a person. He's just a fantastic person. So it's just to hear something like that is amazing. But I saw another thing that he had turned down like $66 million or something like that to do the Matrix Reloaded, I think was what, the second or third movie. And he decided instead he would take a pay cut and then give money to a lot of the crew members so they could get some good money, but also donated motorcycles or gave a bunch of motorcycles to his stunt crew, I believe, if I remember right. If you happen to watch Monday Night Football last night, you might have noticed something weird that happened on the field. Pittsburgh and Cleveland played last night on Monday Night Football, if you happen to not watch it. And the Steelers got some help in the red zone by the Browns' Jadavian Clowney. He got flagged for probably the strangest penalty I've ever heard, for throwing an opponent's shoe that had fallen off after a tackle. Listen to this.
Try to get the quick screen out to Claypool. They get it to him. And a flag flies in.
Somebody threw a shoe. One of the Browns defenders had a shoe.
That might not be a flag.
That's a yellow shoe.
From up here, it looks like a yellow flag.
It sure did.
We're far away. I've seen guys lose shoes before, but not
after
like that.
The play was over. Unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense, number 90. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down. This is number 90's first disqualification potential for UNS.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Exactly. Some bizarre stuff happening the last couple of weeks of football. I don't know if these guys are getting stir crazy or what's going on, but it's some just weird stuff, like the Antonio Brown running off the field and quitting the team. But then that happened last night. Things are getting interesting. And speaking of sports, you've been noticing that LeBron James's son is a pretty talented kid, and he's, what, 17 years old. LeBron James was recently talking about it and says that he would love to play basketball on the court in the NBA with LeBron Jr.
I want him to get to the NBA. I'm not even gonna lie. I want to be on the same. I want to be on the court with him. I think that'll be an unbelievable moment. He's about to be a junior, so the years, I mean, it could get close, but we should see.
So let's do the math here. LeBron James is 37. His son, 17. This would be a pretty amazing thing. I would love for them to be on the same team, kind of like Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. back when they were on Seattle together. That was a pretty amazing thing to see. But we'll have to just wait and see. I mean, just a few years, I'm sure he'll go to college. So he's got another year. So then LeBron will be 38. So LeBron will probably be 40. I could see him, you know, he's playing pretty well at 37, better than most people at 37. So I could see him sticking around for a little while. And even if he just plays half a season or a couple games with his son, that will be pretty amazing to watch.